chapter 12. Matthew chapter 5. Read one verse from each chapter. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 12, 20. If you have that, we'll have you stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's Word. I don't think we'll be very long tonight, only about a 6-hour sermon ahead. So, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20. The Bible says this, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. One more time, a bruised reed shall not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And let's go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. The Bible says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Read that one more time. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And tonight we're going to talk about the different lights of the Christian life. The different lights of the Christian life. Let's pray and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We're thankful, Lord, for those that sang, and we're thankful, Father, for those that have come. And we're thankful, Father, for all that you've done for us today, those baptized this morning. We pray now, Father, that you'd come meet with us again tonight and do a great work now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. When our Lord refers to a smoking flax in our first verse that we read tonight, I think he is likening the Christian people to the wick of a lamp. He's saying this. He is saying that we all ought to have a burning wick. We all ought to have a bright light, if you will. But there's so many Christians that don't have one, don't have a bright light, don't have a burning wick. They don't have that. So, preacher, what do they have? Well, too many, I think, have a smoking flax, a smoking wick. He tells us how he wants us to handle these people. Now, I'm talking to some folks tonight. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you have some light coming out of you. And maybe your light isn't all the way out, because we're going to talk about some different lights. But maybe your light isn't as bright as it should be. Maybe it isn't even very bright at all. And you might even know it's the truth. I'm not scolding anybody. I'm just saying that it barely burns for you. It barely burns for you. Most people in a church are probably not really on fire for God that much. I'm just talking about our church. I'm talking about any church. Most have a wick, and your light burns some, but probably not that bright for a lot of folks. The Lord speaks about that in this passage, I think, in chapter 12 and verse 20 of Matthew. And then we looked at few chapters ahead of that, of course, Matthew 5:16, our other verse said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. And glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. That's what it said, right? I believe we have different lights in the Christian life, and tonight I want to examine a few of them and talk about them. And let me just go ahead and get started. Number one, there's the hidden light. There's the hidden light in the Christian life, I believe. The hidden light. The hidden light. The secret agent, Christian, if you will. The light is hidden. It's hidden. So what does that mean, preacher? Oh, somebody that nobody really knows they're a Christian. Outside of church, maybe, if they even go. Nobody really knows that they're saved. You go to the job, you just seem to fit in with everybody else. You seem to fit in with everybody else. They tell jokes at the lunch table, and they're not clean ones, and you chuckle and laugh. Well, you're the secret agent Christian. You're the hidden light. Of course, you started out by not praying for your food, probably anyway, to begin with, at that lunch table with them. You come to church, you hide your Bible when you leave your house to walk to your car. You don't want anybody to see a Bible in your hand, after all. Maybe you hide your Bible when you walk down the street to your car if you have to park very far away. The secret agent Christian, it's the one with the hidden light. The one like that is to be a shining light, but they keep it under a bushel, like that old song, amen. Keep it under the bushel. They're hidden. They're the hidden light. The hidden light, number two tonight. Let's talk about the flickering light. Let's talk about the flickering light. Don't worry, when we get to number six, we're going to park there a while. But the flickering light. Because right now you think we're going to be done in 15 minutes. The flickering light. That's the inconsistent Christian witness. We're supposed to all be a shining light, amen? They are inconsistent. They look and live like a Christian one day, but not the next. They're inconsistent. They're a flickering light. It flickers. They're up and down, up and down, up one day, down the next, on fire one day, bowed out the next, hot and cold, up and down. You flicker all the time if you're that flickering light. Always flickering. A flickering light isn't very dependable for good lighting, because you never know what kind of lights you're going to get from it. Oh, as it flickers one way, it might, oh, that was pretty good. Oh, well, I can't see again very well. It's flickering. It's flickering. It's flickering. Maybe somebody's newly saved. Maybe the desire's there. But they can't quite turn the corner. They're just flickering all the time. A flickering light is of some use, but not much. It's not dependable. It's independable. You don't know if you can count on it or not. Too inconsistent. Too inconsistent. The flickering light. Let me give you a third one of the Christian life. The dim light. The dim light. So what's that one like? Very, very little witness in your life for God. You don't really tell others about Christ much. You want to, but you just can't seem to muster the courage to. You're easily swayed by things, things of the world and so forth. You get distracted, maybe by your job, or so in other words, work. Maybe by your family or something else. You're distracted all the time. You're the dim light. Very, very little testimony shines off of you. Very little witness in your life. Very little. Very little. The dim light. Maybe a fourth one. How about the odd colored light? I like this one. We'll park here a little bit, not too long, but the odd colored light. Your light is confusing to people. So what does it do? Leads people the wrong way. Leads them the wrong way. Say, well, who meets that definition? Well, I think a carnal Christian does, that's for sure. That's the odd colored light, a carnal Christian. These are the ones that will eventually have to leave a church like ours. Eventually they will. They just can't quite hang in there. They love the fleshy stuff. They live for the fellowships, but not the preaching time. Amen. They try to force their worldliness upon the church for an acceptance so they don't have to feel like there's anything wrong with them. That's the odd-colored light. The odd-colored light. These create confusion, great confusion for babes in Christ. I'll tell you, it kills me. We'll get somebody sometimes that's an odd-colored light in here. And we'll have somebody else who's probably an odder-colored light. I don't know, but maybe they're a newer Christian. And they'll say something to, I can think of somebody not too long back, or a while back, but they said to me and my wife, they said, "Oh, so-and-so has been such a great influence for me. I look at their life and their sense of inspiration for me. They're such a great Christian." And my wife and I walked away and I said, "Man, did you hear that?" I said, "They're crazy." I said, "That's the worst Christian in the church we got here." I said, "They're the most carnal, the most worldly." I said, "They love everything that's fleshy." I said, "And that's the greatest inspiration to this person?" I said, "Wow." I said, "They must not be inspiring very high." They said, "They've taught me how to be such a godly mother." And I thought, good grief, they can't even manage their own kids. How in the world are they teaching them to be a godly mother? They're ungodly themselves. I think it creates confusion. It does create confusion. I said, I told my wife another time when we talked about that, I said, "Isn't that sad?" I said, "That's truly sad." I said, "That just goes to show what an influence that some people can have when they got the appearance that they're into a regular people of our church and that they're just right in there with everybody else, and the truth is nothing but an odd-colored light." Because when they're like that, they're an odd-colored light like that, they just create confusion. People come and say, "Oh, well, they're here all the time. They're involved. But wait a minute. Oh, but they're worldly, and I can tell they don't look quite right." You know what? I think sometimes we can lose some people because of somebody like that. Because they look and they say, "I thought this was a separated, fundamental, independent Baptist church. It said so in the internet. It said so in the phone book. It said so wherever they saw an advertisement at. It said so when they came to our door. I mean, that's what we thought." It creates confusion. Folks, I don't like confusion. I don't like carnal Christianity, though, because God doesn't like it. Amen? So I don't like that kind of confusion. I tell you what, I mean, not that that's my goal, is to have people say that, but like what I mentioned this morning, what was said on Thursday night when a couple of our soul winners went by that lady's house, and she said, "Oh, I've been to Lincoln Baptist Church." And she said, "Oh, Pastor Painter said, if you don't like the preaching, then if you don't like the preaching, then just leave." She said, "So I left." Now, I'm not saying I like people to say that, but I'll tell you what, she didn't get any confusion from me about where I stand. She knew exactly where I stand. Obviously, she didn't like the preacher, so she left. You know what? That was the best thing, she left. Because you know what that tells me? Maybe she's not even saved, number one. Number two, she's definitely a carnal Christian if she is saved. Because she would like the preaching otherwise. Because if you're not a carnal Christian, you wouldn't dislike this kind of preaching. You'd have to be somebody that's carnal and worldly to not like this kind of separated Bible-believing preaching and soul-winning and so forth. You'd have to be somebody against that stuff. So that's an odd-colored light. It creates confusion. It confuses people. Let me give you another light. The fading light. The fading light, number five. The fading light was once bright, now it's fading. Once burned bright, once shined bright, once gave off much light, once was bringing others to Christ and the Savior, once was a shining testimony. But what happened? How did it start to fade? What is the fading light doing? It's a backsliding Christian. That's a fading light. They're backsliding. They're backsliding. They're backsliding. I gotta be completely honest with you. Sometimes we misuse that term. Me too, probably. Not because I don't know what it means, but we say, "Oh, they're backsliding." But really, before anybody can backslide, they have to be somewhere first. Have to get somewhere first. Somebody just got saved, they hung around here for a year or two, and they never really grew much. And we say, "Well, they ain't been coming to church much." And wait a minute. They came to church inconsistently and not much to begin with. So, did they really backslide? No, they're just what they've always been. But we say, "Well, they're not here this Sunday. They must be backslidden." No, not necessarily. They probably ain't never gone nowhere. But somebody who's backslidden, somebody who's a fading light, had to be somebody that first burned bright at some point in their life as a Christian. If they burned bright and they're a fading light, that's a backslider. That's a backslider. And so they really did a great work for God at some point, or at least in some area of their Christian walk and life, and then they started to fade. It fades until it becomes like a smoking flax, like our first verse we read tonight, which is going to take us to our next light tonight, probably the one we'll spend the most time on, number six, the burned out light. The burned out light. What is the burned out light? It really has no more flame. It's burned out. No confusion. I'm not talking about losing salvation. That's not what we're talking about. You can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But we're talking about somebody who they just got tired of the Christian life. Probably started with a fading light. I mean, obviously it has to fade before it burns out altogether. But there's no more flame. The one that's tired of the Christian life is a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. This is the one light that I think we need to talk about the most tonight. First of all, a lamp whose flax is smoking. Obvious thing, I think, is it gives no light, right? It just kind of just has enough there to like make darkness like visible. But there's really no real light there. You can just kind of tell, oh, there's something there, and yeah, it's definitely dark around there. Just makes darkness visible, if you will. I think it's sort of sad, because the purpose of a lamp is what? To give light, right? Obviously. The lamp may be attractive and beautiful, but its real, true purpose is to give light, not to be just attractive and beautiful. It may be an antique lamp that's worth thousands and thousands of dollars, but if it doesn't give any light, it's not fulfilling its purpose. It has to give light. That, folks, tonight is the job of the Christian. Our job is to give light. Our Lord said this in Matthew 5 and verse 14, a couple of verses from where we were at, ahead of that. Ye are the, what, light of the world, if you're still there by chance. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. That's me. I'm to be the light of the world, but wait a minute, that's you, Christian, tonight. Ye are the light of the world. It's our job to give light. If you see, I think it's sad, if you see a lamp that's meant to give light and it will give no light anymore. That's sad. It's meant to give light, but just give maybe just a little bit of light. Just a little bit. Barely any at all. It's just a smoking flax or a smoking wick of some kind. I mean, surely you've seen something like that, haven't you? Yeah. When a wick smokes, what happens? The chimney of that thing gets all black, doesn't it? A lamp or a candle or something like that. When it's just smoking, it makes the rim or the chimney, if you will, of it all black. Whether they might call that a lamp, I call it a chimney, I guess. Makes it all black. Before you know it, if it's left to smoke long enough, depending on where it's sitting at, in a room or something, and the wall, if it's close to it, or maybe the ceiling, if it's not too high, that'll be all black too. What's happened? The soot's going up through there and all that, and it starts to blacken. Maybe if it's close to a wall, it'll blacken a wall. If it's close to a ceiling, it'll blacken a ceiling. Because it's just smoking. And it just keeps smoking. But it's just a smoking flax is all it is. It's just a wick that's smoking. And after a while, it can blacken up the entire room if it's left go long enough. That lamp doesn't give any light. It just makes everything all black. It gets soot all over everything. That's because it's just a smoking flax. Just a smoking flax. You know, the Bible speaks about the smoking flax. That's the kind of person that comes to a church, but not for the services. Amen. He gives, but he never sacrifices. He likes the conversations with people, but he never wins anybody to Christ. He likes the conversions of people, I'm sorry, but never wins anybody to Christ himself. Never brings anybody to church. Never does anything like that. Never tries to invite anybody, get them to come or anything. He's for the Bible, but he won't read it himself. Amen. He's just a smoking flax is all that person is. Oh, they believe in prayer, but they never see any answers to prayer in their own life because they don't really ever pray much at all. That's a smoking flax. They'd be called a fundamentalist. He'd be called a Christian. In fact, he'd probably be called one of the finest Christians on the block in his neighborhood, maybe. He or she's a fine person. He's a fine man. She's a fine lady. A good man. A good lady. They love the Lord. They love the Bible. They love the preacher. They love right. They'll even separate a little bit from the world. However, they don't have much of a light coming out of them. They're just kind of a smoking flax. You may say, but preacher, why have a bright light? Like what the blind man said. The blind man carried a lantern everywhere he went. And folks couldn't understand why a blind man would carry a lantern with him everywhere he went. Once someone came to him and said, sir, what good does the lantern do for you? Why do you carry it? He said, so nobody will stumble over me while I got it. That's one reason why we ought to have bright lights, amen. So nobody will stumble over you. I see that illustration went right over your head, but so nobody will stumble over you. Hey, bless God, if you're a bright light, they won't stumble over you then. They'll know right where you're at. Amen. They won't stumble over you. They won't stumble over us. There's something else about this burned out light of this wick that's just a smoking wick now or a smoking flax now. This smoking wick of flax gives no heat. No warmth. No heat. It's kind of like in the old days when they'd take a stove and they'd bank a stove. And, you know, Brother Foff, like the kind you grew up with. And you bank a stove by closing the damper so no air can get to the fire. And the stove just kind of simmers all night. Just kind of simmers all night. There's a fire in there, but it gives no heat. There's no heat. I think a lot of Christians are that way. A lot of Christians. There's a fire deep down inside of there, in their heart somewhere. You're saved. You love God. If somebody cursed God, it'd make you hurt on the inside. Kind of like Lot. The Bible says, Lot vexed his righteous soul. Why? Because of the sin of what? Sodom, the Bible says. He vexed his righteous soul because of the sin of Sodom. Unfortunately, though, that happened to Lot day in and day out. He never did anything about it. And it just continued to get worse, and it had an effect on him. He let his daughters participate. He even got to the point where he offered his own daughters to wicked sodomites and homosexuals. Just Lot vexed his righteous soul. Why? He hated sin, didn't he? I think so. But he didn't hate it enough to fight it or get out of it. He didn't hate it enough. He didn't hate it enough. He had light inside, but it wasn't enough to give any heat. He didn't hate it enough. I think that's where we're at in our Christian world today in a lot of ways. We hate sin, but not enough. Our churches are worldly. I'm talking about even independent Baptist churches are worldly. 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 I'll go visit someplace sometimes. And I'll say to my wife, I said, did he just say that person was a Sunday school teacher here? I said, man, worldly dressed like that and they're a Sunday school teacher? At their church? That's where we're at. Worldly. We hate sin as preachers, but not enough. Not enough to get up and preach about it. Not enough to get up and say something about it. Not enough to get up and say, thus saith the Lord. Not enough. And the preachers preach and they're too worried about tiptoeing through the tires because they're too worried about losing somebody. Tell you what, one thing we've done, 10.5 years. Bless God, we're getting closer to 11 years all the time. It's because it's almost 10.5 right now. It's just preached. And I just preach, and I've just preached exactly what I believe, and guess what? People just like that. Pastor Payne said, you don't like the preaching, leave. So I left, she said. Yeah, as I've said that many times, that's right. Which time she was sitting there, I don't know, but I don't even know who she is. But that's not too bad. We've lost people, and guess what? We've always done just fine with the offerings. Always done just fine. Done just fine. My preacher used to always say, somebody leave, he said, we got along without you before we met you, get along without you now. He always say hymn number 355 or something like that. He said, that's in our songbook. Not really. But that's what he'd say. I'm saying this hymn ain't really in the songbook, so don't look. But you got to hate sin enough to preach against it. Amen. You got to hate worldliness and carnality enough to preach against it. And if they get mad and leave, they get mad and leave. But it's interesting, we have some get mad and leave, we lose their tithe check. They thought, they think, oh, we're going to hurt you. We're going to hurt that pastor pain. It hurt us. Our offerings went up after they left. Amen. We didn't get nobody new in the door as far as any tithers, but all of a sudden, amazingly enough, the offerings are bigger than they were when you was here. Wonder how that can be. You know what I think the biggest problem is, Brother Yeager? Too many preachers aren't willing to trust God enough to take care of all the bills and just preach the way they're supposed to preach. Instead, they water it all down because they're so afraid of losing somebody. Oh, believe me, I don't want to lose anybody. But I'm not afraid of losing anybody because I know one thing. If God wants me here, He'll keep me here one way or the other. And if the thing don't keep floating, amen, then guess what I can figure out? God don't want me here, so it's time to move on to someplace else where He does want me, because wherever He wants me, plus God, I know He's going to take care of me. And same thing's true for any other Christian who trusts Him, amen. You trust Him, He'll take care of you. God will take care of you. Lot, he vexed his righteous soul because he hated sin, but he didn't hate it enough to get out of it. He didn't hate it enough to fight against it and then get out of it after it began to overtake him and his family. God didn't want you to be a smoking flax or a burned out light tonight. The stove was meant to give heat. A bank stove, if we miss it a little bigger, in a house, the house would get cold at night when they banked the stove. Get cold. Just as if there wasn't any fire in it. But wait a minute, you got a stove burning there with fire in it, and they bank the stove, and it gets cold in the house. Huh. Fire is burning inside the stove, but wait a minute, it's getting cold all around it. God made you and I to give off heat, folks. Amen. God made you and I to give light tonight. Amen. God made you to let people see Jesus in you, as the Bible says, amen, to see Jesus in you. God made you to warn people. God made you to help play a part in helping change people. God made you to help other people, amen, just like I was preaching this morning, amen. That's one thing that every church of Jesus Christ ought to do, amen, is help change people and help folks, amen, and help folks see Jesus. I don't believe tonight we ought to spend our time promoting the Peace Corps or some other garbage like that. People will say to me sometimes, why don't you get involved with some such and such organization that helps a society, helps somebody in society or our town around here? Folks, I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ can do more for our town or our society around here than anything else. Any man-made organization cannot do as much. You will rescue more drunkards. You will save more dope users with the gospel of Jesus Christ than anything else that could possibly be done. You will cure more social ills by preaching you must be born again than by doing anything else tonight. Amen. We Christians ought to make an impact on the people around us. Amen. In June, our church will be 11 years old since we started it. We've been aggressive soul-winning church for almost 11 years in this city. Amen. I believe that Lincoln is starting to get a flavor, amen, of the church a little bit, at least in our neighborhood for sure. Just like I've seen other cities get flavored by churches sometimes. Amen. I think when I lived in Longview, Texas, I think we saw that town get flavored by the Longview Baptist Temple. I think it was obvious. Amen. That city had been impacted by that church. I mean, they have a whole section of town called Pine Tree that's a dry area. No alcohol allowed in the Pine Tree area. So what's that like? It would be kind of like if it was Havelock or something, there's some section of town. It's just that it's got its own district to it as far as voting and so forth. It's all part of one town, but it's like a separate district. Now, Havelock's not necessarily a separate district in that regard as far as ordinances of the city and so forth. But in this case, in this town, it is. And it's called the Pine Tree District or area. They have their own schools and so forth that's separate actually from the Longview district. But it's different over there a little bit. And that's where the church sits too in that area, by the way. They can't sell liquor in their stores in that district. They can't serve it in their restaurants in that district. They aren't really even supposed to be consuming it anywhere in that district, although I'm sure people do in their own homes. But it's all because of a referendum that took place about 25 years ago where they gathered enough signatures from the members of the Longview Baptist Temple to have put on the ballot a law that would prohibit alcohol being sold in the Pine Tree District area. They went to the polls and they voted it into a law. And it stood all these days, probably about 20 years ago, actually. But folks, that's an accomplishment. That's an accomplishment, amen. That's a church helping flavor a city, amen. That's an accomplishment. I believe Lincoln Baptist Church can help flavor our city. I'm not thinking right now we're probably going to get alcohol banned next year or anything like that, but we can help flavor the city, amen. I believe we already have in some ways, amen. You might say, well, preacher, there are some people that don't like us. Well, we already figured that out Thursday night, amen. And have you ever seen an old pot-bellied wood-burning stove, amen? The front can be real warm, and the backside kind of what? Cold, right? You can stand next to it and get warm in the front. In fact, the things around would even get warm all across the front area too, real hot. That's what happened, I think, sometimes. Some people came here and got warm at our church, amen? And then they stepped around to the backside and they caught pneumonia somewhere along the line and end up going somewhere else. That's the way it happens. Do you realize how many people we've met soul winning who weren't going to church anywhere? And they came here for a while and they got excited for a while and they got fired up for a while and now they go to church somewhere else? Tell you what, there's quite a few. I don't have a count, but I'd say an awful lot, Brother Yeager. A lot. A lot. I was just telling Brother Geiser this morning, I said, bless God, if we could have kept all the people we baptized in all these years, I said, we'd be running 1,000. I said, we've baptized like over 1,000 people now. I said, I didn't expect to keep all of them, but I said, bless God, if we could have just kept about 25% of them, I said, we'd be running about 250 now, wouldn't we? But that's all right. I'm not worried about it. There were some that got excited. There were some that got warmed up. And they sat around the backside and they got a cold. Amen. They got a cold, they got sick, amen, they fell on out. It's just the way it happens. I'm not saying that's what I want to have happen, but that's just the way it happens. But at least they caught some flavoring from us, amen. God said, what does that all that mean? Well, didn't you catch what I said just a moment ago? People we met that weren't going to church anywhere, and we got them saved, we got them baptized, and they came here for a year or two, and they might have got mad about something, probably because I said, if you don't like the preaching, leave, and they left, but and then they go to church somewhere else now. I mean, I don't want to say names because I'm starting to try to behave myself better on that. But remembering that many ears are out there in this world when we put those sermons out there. But church you used to go to, brother, we had all kinds of people went over there. All kinds of people. Now, I don't know if they're still there. It sounds like they ain't still there because you didn't know half of them I mentioned to you. But we had all kinds of people over the years that left here and went over there and told people like Brother Yeager and others, they ran here. Oh, we love it over there. It's great. Yeah. Obviously, they didn't love it that much, brother, because you don't even know who half of them are. But we had all kinds of them. I mean, at one time, I think I counted that particular church where you used to go, brother, had something like 12 or 13 of our former members that were attending there. And that was several years back. Several years back. You know what? Those guys ought to pay us royalties. We've helped fill their church up over there, bless God. Amen. We go soul winning and they don't, so it helps them out. And after I preach at them. After I say, if you don't like the preaching, leave. And they say, we leave. So, but a flavoring. Amen. Praise God for the souls saved. I believe we can help flavor a city. Amen. I believe God wants us to. Amen. God wants us warm, folks. God wants us to influence. God wants us to color. God wants us to flavor. Amen. I promise you this. The way I preach, people will get stirred up one way or the other. One way or the other. Amen. But I'll tell you what. I'd rather be someplace where things are stirred up. Amen. in some place where it's dead and dry. I've been places where it's dead and dry. And I tell my wife, I said, you know, hon, I said, I don't know how we ever went to a church like that. I said, I could never go back to one ever again. We left one dead outfit like that, went to Longview Baptist Temple, and I said, I could never go back to that church we came from. I could never go back there, never. It was dry, it was dead. Bless God, the pastor was hugging on the women all the time, and others were hugging on each other all the time, and saying how much they love each other and so forth. And so what's wrong with that? It's not appropriate. That's what's wrong with that. Right. Last time I checked, the Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. That means any woman he ain't married to, amen? And so it's just in Christian love, Pastor Painter. It's just in Christian love, preacher. Yeah, Christian love, all right. But you get yourself in trouble that way, too. Sure can. Christian love can turn to lust pretty quick. And it's so funny, we just talked about that today at lunch, and I told my wife, I said, you remember so-and-so and their wife? I said we had some little disagreement about something. I said they wanted to iron all out, so we talked about it, prayed about everything, and they was all so joyous and crying and tearing and everything. I said the fella gave me a hug, and I ain't much into guys giving guys hugs, but I said, then his wife come over and give me a hug. My wife said, I don't remember that part. I said, I do. I said, I wasn't too fond of it, but I said, she come over and give me a big old hug. And she said, I probably would have scratched her eyeballs out. I said, I don't think you were standing right there then. So, but you know what? That's just how they did things there in that church. But you know what? As soon as we took a step out of that thing and looked back, I said, what in the world was going on there? They was doing junk like that all the time. And truth of the matter is, that particular situation, I think there was all sincerity there. I don't think there was any motives there or anything like that, but it's still not appropriate. It's still not appropriate. But that's how Christians live in some places. And it's no wonder you got so-and-so leaving so-and-so for so-and-so's spouse. Hey, amen. No wonder you got divorces happening in independent fundamental Baptist churches all the time. No wonder you got the preachers falling out of the ministry because of falling into some inappropriate relationship with some woman in the church, or vice versa. I know of one recently was a wife in the church. What in the world is going on? People aren't keeping themselves appropriate. That's what the problem is. They're not keeping themselves appropriate. Now, God wants us to be warm, amen. God wants us to be a light. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands, amen. In 2 Timothy 1:6. What he meant was to put the kindling wood on the fire, amen. Get the fire going, amen. Rekindle it, stir it up, amen. Get that poker out there and stir up that log so the fire burns, amen. Get it stirred up. By the way, the smoking flax is the kind that makes God want to vomit. He didn't like that smoking flax all the time. The Lord said concerning the church in Laodicea, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God didn't like it. That was Revelation chapter 3. But so what do you mean by that? It means to make me sick. That's what it meant. It makes me sick when the church is like that, is what he's saying. What does God want? He don't want Christians just lukewarm. He wants them either cold or hot. Amen. Now God wants you to be hot. Amen. What does he want? He wants you to be on fire. Amen. That's what he wants. He wants you to pass out tracts. He wants you to go soul winning. He wants you to live in this book. Amen. Spend time reading it every day and actually do what it says. Amen. He wants you to sacrifice. Amen. For him. He wants you to be committed to him. He wants you to be dedicated to him. Amen. But let's talk about the last light. Because I can tell you're bored with this one. So that brings us to the last one. Number 7. The bright light. The bright light. That's the light God wants us to be all of the time. You're leading people the right way when you're the bright light. You're not creating confusion. You're not shifting someone away. You're not inconsistent and unable to be depended upon as a light. You're not someone where you're a flickering light and the pastor has to say, well, I wish I could use them. Man, they were bright last week and they're dead this week. Can't even get them into church now. You're not like that. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. I got to be honest with you. We got folks in our church like that. All excited one week, and I tell you, I said, man, isn't that great? They're really coming along. And then next week comes, I said, well, yeah. They were excited last week. Now you can't even find them in church this week. Always sick. Always falling out. Always got a reason. Always got an excuse. And then the next week comes, preacher, this is great. I love you preaching. I love what you're doing here. Amen. Man, I'm so glad to be a part of this. So what is that, a flickering light? God wants it to be a bright light. Amen. That's what God wants. He wants all of us to be a bright light. He wants us to be a bright light. He wants us to be leading people to Christ. He wants, you see, if you're a bright light, you're exactly what God wants you to be. Amen. You are a shining light. You're leading people to Christ. You're guiding people in the right way. You're faithful to everything at church. Amen. You're giving financially like you should. Amen. Not cheating God, not lying about it, but giving like you should. Amen. And by the way, if you don't, you're going to be cursed. That's why some of you have cursed finances sitting here tonight. Because you've been robbing God for a long time and you can't help but be cursed. And by the way, you're only going to continue to spiral down. Because the longer you sit here and you listen to this, oh, and it ain't an excuse to leave now. But guess what? The longer you've been here long enough, bless God, that I've taught enough on finances, you know you ought to tithe. Quit being a God robber and get right. Maybe God will bless you in return. Of course, you can't be preaching like a genie in a lamp and think it's going to happen the next month. You do what's right, God will take care of you. You give financially like you should. Amen. You're a shining example of what a Christian ought to be. Amen. You have a testimony that shines well. Amen. That shows well for you. That shows what a Christian should be. Amen. This is where we need to be as believers. We need to be the type of Christians that are bright lights. Amen. We need to be the type of Christians that are exactly where God wants us to be. Exactly doing what God wants us to be doing. Amen. That's what we need to be. We're at a place where we need that tonight, amen. We need Christians to be Christians again in our world, amen. Not just in our church, in all churches, amen. We need Christians to be what they ought to be. I'll tell you what. If a Christian was what they were supposed to be, amen, and all Christians in our country were what they were supposed to be, it wouldn't even be an issue about Obama getting elected for anything. Bless God. Because there ain't nobody in our church would even be thinking about voting for him, amen? But I just heard somebody the other night say, well, it ain't really matters who you vote for. Well, you go ahead and vote for the communist if you want to, bless God. You go ahead and vote for the socialist if you want to. The truth of the matter is, I'm not anybody's campaign manager, and I'm not getting off into that, but I will say this, our country's in trouble, amen? If we don't wake up pretty quick. If we don't wake up pretty quick, we're in trouble. We need to be a bright light. Amen. We need to be leading people the right way. We need to be trying to help bring people into the way of righteousness. Amen. There's people in our church that could use help. Amen. I'm not saying you need to pay all the bills for them. I'm saying help. Amen. Christian help. Amen. Christian prayer. Amen. They need that. Lots of people in our church need it. We had a lot of people here this morning need that kind of help. They need somebody willing to come alongside them and put an arm around them, if they're the same sex, amen, and put an arm around them and say, hey, listen, I'm trying to encourage you. Hey, listen, I want to help you. I want to pray for you. If there's anything I can do for you, if there's some way that I can try to help you with whatever problem you may have, especially if you know what it is, say, can I help you with that, brother? Can I help you with that, sister? And if you're a brother and she's a sister, just make sure you keep your hands to yourself, amen. But the truth of the matter is, a bright light, a bright light, a bright light. That's what God wants us to be, amen. Tonight, the question is this. You answer it for yourself, but what kind of light are you? What kind of light are you? Let's stand to our feet. What kind of a Christian light are you? I just gave you seven different lights of the Christian life. What kind are you?